Mark alone notes this detail. It's the account of the storm and the master commanding peace be still. It's a common error to think oneself all alone. The disciples acted as though their ship was the only one in danger. They only were battling the storm. They only faced the waves. They only felt the sting of the wind. But there were others. Others were trying to keep afloat. Others were thinking of loved ones. Others were wet and miserable and frightened. I so often forget that whatever happens to me is such as is common to man. It's a lesson a soldier learns. He learns that thousands are facing the same enemy and obeying the same orders. It's a big lesson for Elijah. He was convinced that he was the only one. He'd been scheduled for dark times. Anything spiritual was at low ebb. There was bounty offered for dead preachers. The public loved false gods and altars to idols. And Elijah was a lonely man. I only am left. He was wrong. 7,000% wrong. I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees of which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. And you can yield to self-pity until you walk down a long hospital ward. You can complain until you visit a veterans institution. You can feel picked upon until you watch the courage of the handicapped. There are so many other little ships trying to make harbor. I say in error, there can be no anguish like my own. Nobody has seen the trouble I have seen. Oh, yes, they have. I need to look around. There is bravery if I will look. There is faith if I will look. So many are facing the same storm I'm facing. They're going to make it. They, too, are facing inflation, a crumbling school system, tax burden, ethnic adjustment. They face into the same difficulties, and I need to be reminded. There's the same frailty. There's the same exposure. No, sir, I'm not the only one. A beautiful story is told of Robert Louis Stevenson as a lad. His boyhood nights were racked with cough, and he would pray for either sleep or the morning. At times, his devoted nurse would lift him out of bed and carry him to the window, and she would show him a lighted window or two along the dark line of Queen Street, Edinburgh. And they would tell each other that there would be more sick boys with their nurses in those lighted rooms. They, too, were longing for either sleep or the morning, and it brought sympathy and produced courage. Yes, there are others. Others face temptation. No one is picking on me. I'm facing the same layout. It's a good lesson from golf. The same sand traps, the same water hazards, the same bunkers, the same tricky greens. I feel I'm at an unfair advantage. I feel Satan has isolated me. Oh, no, my brother. I'm assured by God's word. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Others are singing the same gospel song for help, right in the same row where you stand in church. Others are seeking the same guidance in prayer, right at the same altar where you kneel. Others face sin. I'm not the only one to look at failure. We have all sinned by coming short of the glory of God. Look around you, church member. You have company. Everyone knows the web of deceit. Everyone has felt the chill of hate. Everyone remembers stain and guilt. You may have fallen lower, but the lowest has been redeemed. Paul claimed that distinction, that he was the chief of sinners. You'll make it as God helps others. He will help you. And others are face training. Every believer does. There are no exceptions. Great and noble ambitions must earn the right. There's no magic. There are overcomers. It's a common cry among preachers and evangelists. Carest thou not that we perish? I've reported myself after some board meetings, after some fruitless effort, after families have moved away, after factories closed down, and I'm frightened, disappointment threatens to swamp me, adversary winds rip my plans to pieces, and I feel on Tuesday like a derelict adrift. And I wonder why I ever entered the ministry. Oh, yes, yes, if it helps you, I've had all those pains. a test in part of my training. Every marriage knows stress and strain. Every child wonders whether parents understand. Every deacon feels he should quit. Every singer wants to preach. Every preacher wants to sing. Every farmer wishes it would rain or wishes it wouldn't rain. Every secretary wishes her typewriter would stop making mistakes. Every comedian thinks he should have chosen dramatic acting. Every landlord is looking for the perfect tenant. Every unmarried woman is telling herself she's better off. Every weary clerk wishes it were 5 o'clock. A president's wife, recoiling from the assassination of her husband, soon is comforting the wife of Martin Luther King. Others face death. That's why it's good to have cemeteries. I must remember that this visitor knocks at every door. God does not deny us our tears. Jesus wept over a grave. But it is a sin to grieve over the departure of a loved one as if no one else had ever lost a friend. Have you said goodbye? Well, so have others. Others look at vacant chairs. Others listen for footsteps that are never heard. Oh, yes. Others are trying to make it through storm and night. After the death of Prince Albert, the heart of Queen Victoria the Good was crushed with grief. And it's a fact of history. There followed days of unspeakable sadness. The Queen, however, was not so wrapped up in her own grief as not to feel the sorrows of others. Her first public words after the prince's death formed an expression of tenderest sympathy sent to the wives and children of some 200 men who were killed in the Hartley coal mine disaster. There is a coffin to fit everyone. Why did Mark add this detail, other little ships, to that account? Well, there's an advantage to thinking of others. It takes my mind away from myself. It diminishes pressure. Under God, if they can make it, so can I. They need my help as I need their help. My burden lessens as I'm concerned for others. It's therapeutic. It inspires unselfishness. The speechless can assist the blind. The invalid can read to the person in traction. I'm inspired to kindness rather than to despair. And thinking of others generates sacrifice. Perhaps my struggle isn't as desperate as his. His boat may be more leaky than mine. Really, I wouldn't trade my trouble for his. And when I view others, I think I'm fortunate. I so often feel I need to help them rather than they help me. You think your life is of no account? Are you depressed? Well, look around you at the other little ships. During World War II, I was in San Francisco, so many, many miles from home. I was walking Market Street near the midnight hour, hating to go back to a lonely hotel room. I'd been away for a long time during the war pressures and travel restrictions, so I dropped into one of those restaurants which never closes and sat on the stool at the counter. Suddenly I was conscious of a hand with an extraordinary grip reaching for the edge of my stool. I turned to see one of those human beings without legs, only a torso, swing up from his skateboard to the stool next to mine, and I knew who he was. I'd often seen him on Market Street on his skateboard, his arms touching the cement and pushing his way along. He was smiling as he settled on the stool and ordered coffee. And I said to him, "Sir, permit me to buy you a meal." "It isn't out of pity, sir. I owe it to you. Until you came, I was wallowing in self-pity, and your good cheer makes me ashamed of myself. Please, please be my guest. You have taught me something tonight." Jesus always saw others. They were his passion and incentive. He came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. Otherwise, Jesus would never have left the comfort of the eternal world. I saw the storm down here. He saw the struggle. He knew the odds. He came to bring calm. He does it so easily. Wind and wave obey. It's easy to forget. These same disciples came upon a certain brother who was preaching, and they proudly reported, "We forbade him." And Jesus reminded the committee, there were other little ships, to make room for the fleet. Grace knows no favor. Do not be selfish with what you've got. The same Jesus who helps you wants to help other people. And when the fleet is in, sir, we'll all testify whether the boat is Baptist, Methodist, Presbyterian, Lutheran, Episcopalian, Church of Christ, whatever. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. What a difference in life a few steps can make, lady. The long, long altar is an opportunity for whosoever will, and it says to you, bring your burden to the Lord, leave it here. So many of us are coming in these next 10 seconds. The Holy Spirit has a message for you here. He says to the transgressors, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall become white as snow, and though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He says to the burdened, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. It's an invitation too good to forfeit. There's no burden more difficult to carry than guilt. So get rid of it in these seconds. Jesus of Nazareth became the scapegoat. He offers to transfer your guilt to himself, and no other will make that offer to you. God's Son deals with pain, grief, sorrow. He bore our sicknesses in his own body on the tree. Your deliverance is paid. And with the ministry of the Holy Spirit, I will lead you to him. Heavenly Father, we confess before men our faith in Jesus. He is the only begotten Son, Savior, Messiah. Thou hast authorized him to forgive sins and heal diseases. Many, many have come forward. They are in repentance, sorry for disobedience and neglect toward thee. These seek thy pardon and cleansing, and grant them assurance. Now I pray for so many wives struggling with rising costs for food. Come to the aid of these brave women who try to feed their families. Let profiteers be ashamed. I pray for women who spend long hours in the needle trades, who strain eyesight and nervous reserve to keep body and soul together, and often go home and climb the steps to a single housekeeping room to face loneliness. God be with these precious people. Dry the tears of people who are crying. Help our president and our nation. But come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come. Amen. Thank you for praying right along with us. I felt your prayer. Our high priest has received them. Now we have come to that wonderful, wonderful moment when we note our Lord's particular ministry among us at this time. Jesus performs the will of his Father at all times, and God is glorified in these acts of mercy. A sweet little girl among us is bothered by her tonsils. The family physician has advised that they should be removed. This family are believers. However, the family has never experienced a personal healing, and this is that time. Jesus will remove all signs of this tonsil distress. He's visiting this home to touch it with resurrection power. Now spread the testimony of our Lord's goodness to you. We thank God with you. I'm his servant evangelist. Well, I'm expecting the Lord's return at any moment. There will be no precious or previous alert. As quickly as one blinks, the evacuation will take place. And mister, if Jesus can receive you that quickly, he can save you that fast. Now this planet's cemeteries will never be the same. The dead in Christ shall rise. My forwarding address, by the grace of God, is the marriage supper of the Lamb, and there'll be a crowd of us there. And God's Holy Spirit will prepare you if you will believe that it is not by might, or by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord.
You have just heard Evangelist C.